This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Let's start with what no one's talking about, because it's not as flashy as TikTok rumors or tweet threads built on innuendo. What we're talking about is a body, a teenage girl found in a bag inside a Tesla frunk. A Tesla registered to viral singer David Burke, otherwise known as D4VD, or just David. But let's also start here. No one has been arrested. Not David, not anyone else. No cause of death, no matter of death, and no answers, at least not yet. From the one group who can actually say anything with weight, the Los Angeles County Coroner's Office. Until they talk, we are swimming in a pool of unknowns. Some of them kind of dangerous. So today we're pulling this story out of the YouTube trenches and asking the questions that actually matter right now. Is David being framed? Now, look, I'm not going down this road to say this is what I believe. I'm asking the question. Because it should be asked. And I'm curious to get your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube. Because if the evidence points in that direction, it matters. But if it doesn't, we need to stop pretending it does. And right now, that evidence sits somewhere in between. So, let's walk through it, shall we? Celeste Rivas Hernandez was 15 years old. The last confirmed sighting of her was weeks before her body was found, decomposed. In the front trunk, the frunk of the Tesla parked on Bluebird Avenue in the Hollywood Hills. That car, registered to Burke, had been sitting there long enough to be ticketed on August 27th, and then again sighted on September 3rd, and it was eventually towed to a nearby tow yard on September 5th. No one opened that car until September 8th, when a tow yard employee noticed a foul odor and called it in. And the police showed up. They opened the frunk, and what they found changed everything. That discovery launched an investigation into not only how Celeste died, but how and why her body ended up in that car. The assumption early on was that, well, if a body's in your car, you must know something, right? Or did something, or are hiding something. But what if that assumption is just wrong? And here's where things get murky. According to police, they're still not sure when she died, how she died, or who put her there. The autopsy was listed as deferred, meaning they're still waiting on more forensic results, possibly toxicology, possibly trauma review, possibly both. There's no public indication of external injuries, no official statement about cause or manner of death as of now, and that silence is loud. Because in the absence of facts, people tend to make their own. That's not something I'm saying is right or okay or great, but it's reality. The internet's been on fire with it. Theories, conspiracies, talks of matching tattoos, fan fiction is evidence. Some claim she was dismembered. Others say she was trafficked. None of that has been confirmed. Not by the LAPD, not by the coroner, and certainly not in any court. Here's what's actually confirmed. Celeste had been reported missing multiple times in 2024, February, March, and April. According to family, there were sightings. There was even doorbell cam footage at one point showing her outside a home late at night, seemingly trying to get in. Whether that home was hers or someone else's isn't entirely clear. What is clear is that she had a history of going missing and returning. So the timeline of her movements in the final weeks of her life is already a little bit complicated. We also know LAPD served a search warrant on a Hollywood Hills home tied to David. They seized electronics, including a computer. What they found or didn't is sealed. No arrests have followed, no charges. That alone, that happened a little while ago, is telling. Law enforcement does not sit on slam dunk cases. If they had a smoking gun, they'd be in court, not still combing timelines. But now we got something new, a twist. not in Los Angeles, but nearly 1,500 miles away in Hempstead, Texas, where David's parents live. It's where things get really strange. Just days after Celeste's body was found in the Tesla, Texas police showed up at the Burke family home, guns drawn. Someone had called 911 and reported gunfire, a scream, possibly a dead body. A dispatcher answered, and the person on the other end, they were not using their real voice. In the 911 audio, which has since been released, you hear a voice that sounds robotic. It's through a filter, stilted process, like it's running as a robot. Forensic audio analysis Jennifer Owen broke it down for Law and Crime Sidebar podcast and confirmed what many had suspected. This caller was using a voice changer, not hard to get. It's not speculation, that's forensic pattern recognition. Irregular harmonics, robotic cadence, it's there. It's a distorted pitch. Whether it was done through a mobile app or a professional-grade software, someone went out of their way to mask who they were before falsely sending police to the Burke residence. And this doesn't take some sort of super high-tech special thing to do. It takes about $10 if you want to buy one online. Or less if you just want to find an app or a program that'll do it for you. And a remote amount of knowledge of how to use it, which that would be 90-some percent of the general population. It's not just a prank, that's a crime. It's called swatting. It's dangerous, it gets people killed. And when you match the timing days after the body is found in the Tesla, right when David's name is dominating headlines, you have to ask, was it part of something larger, or was it somebody just trying to make life more hellish for a family that they viewed might be in the wrong and might have something to do with this? So let's exact vengeance on them by swatting them. People do that sort of shit. So let's be careful here. Swatting happens to famous people all the time. Doesn't mean it's connected to whatever else is going on in their lives, but it could be. And that's the rub. If someone is trying to implicate David or scare him or create chaos around him, swatting his family is one way of doing it. That's what makes the case so uniquely tangled. There's a real victim, a dead teenager, a pop star with a national profile, a decomposing body in a car, but also a 911 call with a faked voice, a family caught in the crosshairs, and a complete lack of forensic awareness publicly, or answers that are publicly available. And here's a problem with the he's being framed narrative. It's not as easy as planting a body and walking away. Teslas log everything: door openings, trunk cycles, app access, Bluetooth keys. If someone else moved or accessed that vehicle, LAPD will know. And will eventually know too. Or they'll be able to figure it out from the car's data logs. But so far, we do not have that data in our hands. This means somebody else doesn't. And if that data shows third-party access, it will. If it has, that does lean toward a frame job. If it hasn't, well, then that's a problem for the defense. We also don't know if any fingerprints or DNA were found on the bag Celeste was placed in. If the bag came from David's house, that's a forensic lead. If it came from somewhere else, that's a whole different trail. And again, this isn't CSI in 45 minutes. It takes time to work through the lab results. But the timeline matters. This wasn't a car in David's garage. It was sitting on a public street for days, if not weeks. Anyone could have accessed it. That's both damning and exculpatory, depending on really what else we learn. And yet here's what we have to hold on to. Law enforcement has been very careful in their language. The LAPD publicly said they do not know yet if there's any criminal culpability beyond the concealment of a body. It's not nothing. That means they're looking at whether Celeste died elsewhere, which does appear to be fairly likely, and was placed in the Tesla after the fact. It's a big distinction. It's the difference between murder and postmortem concealment, between a killer and someone who panicked, or someone who had nothing to do with it at all. And that's why this swatting incident matters more than people realize. If this was a one-off event, a troll looking for chaos, then it's background noise, which it very well may be. My gut tells me it's that. It's my gut, though. But if it connects, if the caller who disguised their voice is also in any way linked to Celeste, to the Tesla, to the timeline, they were looking at something much more deliberate, a setup, a smear, a frame. What exactly you'd be accomplishing by swatting David's parents, I do not know. But also what you're going to accomplish by putting a decomposing body in a car and leaving it on the street only to be towed and found out, I don't know what you're trying to accomplish there either. Especially if you did it. If you didn't do it, and somebody put that body in your car, that's framing. So it's either really stupid or framing. We are living in a moment where perception races ahead of process. The internet is three steps into conspiracy while the coroner is still running the tox screen. And that creates a dangerous gap for David, for Celeste's family. Most importantly, for the truth. Here's what we do know. A 15-year-old girl is dead. A grieving family buried her on October 6th at Queen of Heaven Cemetery in Roland Heights. David Burke is not in custody. There is no cause of death. No manner. No one has been charged with anything related to her death as of this recording. But we also know someone tried to trigger a deadly police encounter at his parents' home. Used a fake voice, lied about a crime, and vanished. Side story? Or is it part of this? Because whether David Burke is a killer or a scapegoat or someone caught in a series of unthinkable circumstances, one thing is crystal clear. Someone out there doesn't want the truth. They want chaos. They want fear. And if we chase every shadow without waiting for science, we're helping them win. Let the coroner speak. Let the logs be pulled, let the forensic walk us back to the moment this girl died. Not the moment the internet decided someone must be guilty. Because until the facts show otherwise, we have to hold the line between questions and accusations. That line? That's where justice lives. Tell me your thoughts. In the comments section on YouTube, just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi if you're not already there. So many questions in this case. The more I've been digging into it, at least I don't go into a case going, you're guilty or you're innocent. I want to see where the evidence is going to take us here. And where I'm sitting right now is kind of squarely in the middle. I don't know. I don't think anybody can really truly know. Is this music macabre? Is it dark? Yeah, so is a lot of music. And they don't have bodies hidden in their trunks. And it doesn't mean David knew someone put a body in his trunk if someone put a body in his trunk. I have worked in the music industry for pretty much my entire life. In radio. And I can tell you, it's a shady-ass place. And artists, behind the scenes, they have groupies. They have people who do their bidding. They have droves and droves of people who just want to be close to them, want to say they know them, want to basically take their fame and step onto their pedestal because it makes them feel bigger than they are. And they're willing to do pretty much anything for that celebrity to which they are in the graces of. And then you have some who are close and jealous as hell that they're not the ones that are on top. that they are not the ones that are getting all the attention and all the groupie love and all of that stuff. Jealousy is a funny thing. It can make people do crazy, crazy things. And I'm just saying, it's not a crazy world to think. He's out on tour. He's got his groupies back home, his friends, his homie, whatever the hell you want to call it. Something happens. She's friends with other people. Ends up being friends with the wrong one that's extremely jealous. Something happens. Well, I'm going to take David down. He doesn't deserve all of this. I'm going to do this and frame him. No one will ever know. I don't know. Stupid. You're going to get caught. The car is going to tell everything. But it is something people do when they're jealous. Build them up, tear them down. It's what people do in this country. It's sick. But it's how a lot of people operate. Is that what happened here? I don't know the answer to that. You don't know the answer to that, but I am interested in hearing your opinion. It's kind of where I'm at right now. Or you're just be totally stupid, young, and dumb, as most people are at 20. I don't care how prolific your music is, what you've experienced, blah, 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 blah. You only have so much life experience at 20. You may not be aware that they chalk the street for tires. And if those tires haven't moved in a while, you're going to get towed. I don't know that. Well, I did know that at 20, but I know a lot of people who didn't know that at 20. And if you think, well, just leave it in here, it's outside, no one's going to notice. It's a lot of dumb choices that can be made. Not to mention your prefrontal cortex isn't done developing for another 6 years. So there's that too. A lot of play. Again, tell me your thoughts in the comments section. Love to hear it. And be sure to press subscribe wherever you're listening or watching our podcast. We do greatly appreciate it. I'm Tony Brewski. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.